that I have in my heart today is a fierce opponent. I shared some of this with the young people last night. And I desire that I don't have to do all the reading, so I hope that somebody will help me with it. But the first scripture that we have is in Nahum 2:1, says, "He that dashes in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way. Make thy loins strong, fortify thy powers mightily." So I've been thinking about this for several days, about a fierce opponent, and that opponent is Satan himself, or the devil. He's fierce, and he's relentless. He will go to every extent to take us down. That's his purpose, or his object. He wants to take every single soul that will let him. He wants to take them down. I was thinking about in a situation I had recently, and I told the young people of the day, I felt the Lord gave me a message, and after I gave that message, the enemy came against me like he was pouncing on me with all fours. And he would come and I would resist him. And he'd come back again. And I began to wonder about it. And the Lord spoke to me, helped me to see. He is fierce. He doesn't quit. You can tell him, go. You can tell him, no. And he will try to come back in another way, another form, another avenue. And it was, the Lord encouraged me, let me know that it was because, see, the enemy doesn't want us to do the right thing. He doesn't want the gospel to go forth. He doesn't, when we begin to expose his ways and his tactics, he doesn't like that, and he's going to fight against us. He has the world, but he's going to fight against the people of God. And so, when we realize that, and how his purpose is to take us down, it helps us to realize that we need to be on our guard. There's a song this saint says in our songbook, "O soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. The host of hell is pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. O watch and fight and pray. The battle never give up, or renew it boldly every day." And I don't have the words with me, so I'm going to have to look them up. But when we think of that song, it pinpoints just what we're dealing with. We don't really have time to take it easy, so to speak, to just be distracted with the things of this world. We must recognize that we have an adversary that doesn't like us. He's not our friend. And he is going at the end of the world to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And he's trying to take as many of us with him as he can. Now, I'm looking up this song.
I have it.
Okay.
The first, let me do it, the first verse. My soul be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise. And hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the sky.
You have been muted. To unmute yourself, oh, watch and start fight. Twice.
And pray the battle ne'er give o'er. Renew it boldly every day, and help divine implore. Ne'er think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Thine arduous work will not be done till thou hast got the crown. Fight on, my soul, till death shall bring thee to thy God. He'll make thee at thy parting breath up to his blessed abode. He'll take thee at thy parting breath up to his blessed abode.
Yes. So you see, when we listen to this song, it puts solemnness in our heart to not.
Oh, sister, you got cut off for a second, but you should be back now.
Okay. When we listen to this song, we begin to realize how serious life is. And we don't really have time to sit down and take our ease, so to speak. It's just like when we're in a battle, we can't just, like people that
you
fight.
You have been muted. To unmute yourself, press the star key twice. Mute off.
Suspect.
Yes.
Are you cut off for a second there. Keep going.
So you can hear me now, right?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. I'm saying that when we're in a battle, and if there was warfare, you wouldn't have time to just get distracted and maybe just take your ease and just think everything's going to be okay, and you do nothing. And I realize that God has promised to protect us against this fierce opponent, but yet there is something on our part. We need to realize that life is serious, and when we leave here, it's going to be forever. Never ending. And that's why we need to be on our guard and we need to be careful. Let's read John 10:7-10. St. John 10:7-10.
Okay, St. John 10:7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd.
That's good.
Shepherd. Okay.
So you see, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what the devil comes. He comes to steal. He'll steal our salvation if we let him. He'll kill our joy. He'll kill anything that God builds in us if we let him. But we don't have to let him. But that's his job. That's what he does. That's who he is. Steal, kill, and destroy. I was thinking about how that, I want us to think about how that when we have an opponent, someone that is against us, or sometimes there are games. I don't know a lot about the football and basketball games, but what I've heard and what I think I understand is that the opposing team studies the team that they're going to fight against or going to be competing against. They study them. No doubt they study, look at video clips of some of their games, and they're looking for ways to bring them down, trip them up. They're looking for weak places. And you know the devil is just like that. I believe he looks at us and studies us and sees some of our weaknesses and tries to use those weaknesses to bring us down. Let's read 1 John 3:8-10.
Love is not his brother.
You see, we don't want to have any affiliation with the devil. And the devil is one to get us to sin. That's how he tries to get us, carry us down. Because he comes with temptation that we, in order that we will give up our profession of salvation, and he'll try to get us to do things that's wrong and sin. But he that sinneth is of the devil. So we don't want to be on his territory, and we don't want to let him tempt us to do the wrong thing. We need to resist him. Now I want us to look how what the devil does to try to destroy us. And we've talked many times about Job. And let's go to Job 1. We're going to do quite a bit of studying how the devil works.
There was a day when the Son of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan asked the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it."
This is what he does. From even when I think sometimes we're asleep at night, no doubt that the devil is planning and scheming ways to trip us up. He comes in so many ways. So he walking up and down the earth, going to and fro, trying to find people that he can take down. And he has no, he's relentless with it. He doesn't stop. And I was thinking how that he was determined to take Job down. Let's go now to verse 8 to 11, same chapter.
And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God or not? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.
See what he did? He studied Job. He had already mapped out what he thought, how Job was able to live for God. He was wrong, but he had studied him. He looked, he said, you blessed him. Look, all these things, in other words, you got a hedge about him. He's not just serving you just because you he loves you or he care about you. You've done all these good things for him. You take all that away from him, and he'll curse you to your face. That was his analysis of it. He was wrong, but that helps us to see that the devil is watching us and all that we do and figuring out a plan. He said, you take all these things, and he'll curse you to your face. He was figuring out a plan of how to take Job down. When we read the part of this, if we go from 12 to 19, we're going to see how relentless he was, how he worked so hard to try to take him down. He didn't even give him a chance to breathe, so to speak. But he was taking one thing right after another, and his purpose was to destroy him. Destroy his integrity. Let's read 12 to 19.
And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans came out three bands and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came yet also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee.
You see what he did? He just, this is the kind of way. And when we have things, sometimes it seems like, oh my goodness, this is happening, and that's happening, and the other's happening. Sometimes it seems like that among us. Sometimes you hear requests. Well, this one is sick, and this one is sick, and that one had a car accident. Sister Geraldine, I think her brother-in-law was bringing a car for them. They were going to buy from it. And when you see the picture of that car, it looked like you would say it's no way that man could have come out of there safe. But God had mercy. But the devil is like that. And when you listen to one, you get a call, maybe another one, something's happening to this one and that one. That's the way the devil works. He's trying to destroy our integrity and our hope and our faith and confidence in God. And so we have to realize that this is the way he works, so that we don't allow these things to get the best of us. But Job, when he heard this in the 20 to 22, read those three verses, because this did not take him down, but it was designed to.
Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
Yes. So he had studied Job, but it was some parts of this that he did not know. He did not understand. I'm going back to this, but I want us to read Job 28 and 7. Because we are protected by the hand of God. There is a place in him that he cannot get to us, even though he has all of this effort that he puts to take us down. God loves us and cares for us enough to hide us from the onslaught of the enemy.
Job 28:7.
Mm-hmm.
There's a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen.
See, if we are living for the Lord, and if we stay close to him, and if we obey him and do his will, we will be in that place that the devil doesn't know. He sees our circumstances. He sees how we are, our daily reactions to things. He sees maybe how much we love this one, that one, or the other. And he'll take things from us and all of this. And yet, there is a protected place in God. There is a path which no foul knoweth. Job was on that path, and he was protected, even though the enemy was relentless in trying to take him down. Psalms 91 and 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So if we put ourselves in that secret place, we serve him with all our heart, we will be protected from the enemy's snares. But yet, there is a place for us to be watchful and prayerful and careful, and to fortify our powers mightily, like the scripture says in Nahum. It said, he that dashes in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition. Don't let go of the munition. Don't let go of God. When things get hard and bad, it's not the time to let God go. That's the time to draw closer to him. He said, watch the way. Be watchful and prayerful. Don't be careless, but watch the enemy's tactics. And it says, fortify thy powers mightily. And we have that opportunity through Jesus to have our powers fortified, that we can fight against the enemy. We need to fight back. We don't have to lay down and let the devil railroad us and walk over us. We need to fight back. Now, I want to go to a scripture that helps us to see how relentless the devil will try to get us. He will try all while we are living in this world. But when we get to near the end, he might throw us a curveball. So we have to be careful. Jude 1 and 9.
Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee.
See what happened? Here, Moses died, and it was like the devil wanted to lay claim on his body. But the archangel said, rebuke you. This shows me how that he doesn't give up. Now here, all the way to the end, he will try to do something to get us where he can lay claim. And we don't want to live careless and indifferent and in any way to where the devil will lay claim on us under any circumstance. We want to live free and pure before God. And we want to be sure that we can make it. Now, I want us to look at Jesus, because he's our example, and how he fought the devil. Let's go to Luke 4 and start at verse 1. The devil tried to take Jesus down before he got started good in his work. He came here to die for our sins and to bring us salvation. But the devil was trying to keep him from doing what God had brought him to. So if he will tempt Jesus, if he had enough nerve to tempt Jesus, and even when you think about it, the way he tempted him, don't you know he's got enough nerve to tempt us in all kinds of ways? We got to be watchful. We got to be prayerful. We got to be vigilant. We cannot afford to give down. We cannot afford to lose in this battle. Sometimes you might have teams. One team win the Super Bowl or something like that. But then they may have another year that they can try again. But you know, in this battle, we can't afford to lose. We must win, because it's our eternity. It's our destiny.
Did Luke 4 and 1.
Yes, to 13.
And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season.
I want us to look at these temptations. The first of it, he said, If thou be the Son of God. It was like he was trying to put doubt in the Son of God, in Jesus' mind, that he was the Son of God, or that he needed to prove that he was the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they may be made bread. He knew Jesus was hungry. He tried to play on his hunger. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And so he tried to, but he put in there a temptation. It was mixed with things of doubt, whether you're the Son of God, obeying, doing what the devil tell you to do. And he resisted him. He said, and how Jesus resisted him, he used scripture. So then, the next one, he said, showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and told him that I'll give it all to you. I got the power. I'll give it to you if you'll bow down and worship me. How foolish, how nervy he had to come to the Son of God and tell him to worship him. He's relentless. Don't you know, if he's that relentless toward Jesus, the Son of God, we're no match for him on our own. We must obey God, follow his directions. We must stay close to him, or he will take us down. And he has taken many down for one reason or another. Jesus told him, Get thee behind me, Satan. He told him to go. Did he give up? No. Sometimes we'll have to tell the devil, Get behind me, or get away from me. Go on down the road. He might go down there, but he'll turn around and try to come back. You have to continue. So Jesus had to resist him again. And he said, Cast yourself down. He's just trying to get him to do what he wanted him to do. And that's what he's trying to do for us. He'll bring temptation and you resist it, you think he's gone. He may be gone for a season. In that scripture, that last one said he left him for a season. That didn't say that he left him forever. He is relentless. He will be there until the bitter end, just like he was there disputing the body of Moses. So we want to be encouraged to fight against the enemy. We don't have to give in. Let's go to 1 Peter 5 and read verses 8 and 9.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
So you must resist the devil. We don't need to give in. We don't need to be afraid. We need to fight. Fight for our souls. Fight for our lives. Fight for our eternity. Mark 14 and 38. So we must be watchful and prayerful. We need to be careful in order to fight this fierce opponent that we have.
Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak.
Yes. And in one scripture, he said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We must watch and pray, because the enemy of our soul is out to take us down, as I said. So we want to be careful. Part of what we can do is watch and pray. Another part is to put on the tools. God gives us tools against the enemy. Hold on just a minute. I want to get to, I have this Mark 13 and 37. It says, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. He tells us all to watch. Also, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 8.
1 Thessalonians
5 and 6.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. But they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Yes. So let's be sober. Let's be watchful. Let's not let the devil trick us. He'll say, he'll try to tempt us, remember, over and over again, but we don't have to give in to it. I'm going to finish up with two more scriptures. One is Ephesians 6 and 10. We have tools. God gives us that. The tools to work with to fight the enemy. You see, when you go, if you're in a team and you have an opposing team, you have certain tools, maybe certain strategies to fight offensively or defensive. Some of the tools can be defensive, for defensive fighting, and some can be for offensive fighting. But either way, we have God has not left us without the tools to fight the enemy with.
Ephesians 6 and 10.
Yeah.
Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
keep going.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth,
yes,
and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
That's good. So you see, all of these tools that God gives us, this right here, this one scripture can be a message in itself. Finding all the tools that God gives us to fight the devil with. But I want us to look at two of them. And one of them says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus took the sword of the Spirit to fight against the devil. When he would come to him and say, do this or do that, he would quote the scriptures. That's why we need to know the scriptures so we can fight him with. When the devil would come up against us and tell us to do something wrong, we can say no, because the scripture says thus and thus. And so he took the sword of the Spirit. That is, I want to say it's offensive. Is it offensive? I'm kind of getting a little confused. There's one that we want to protect ourselves from the devil's things that he comes against her, and that's the shield of faith. It said, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Lift the shield of faith. Devil may come to you and say, well, you're not saved, you're not no Christian. And you can say, yes, I am, because I've given my heart to God. I've done what he said in his word. And the word says thus and thus. So we lift the shield of faith. But then we have to fight back with the sword of the Spirit and use the word of God to tell him no, because the word of God says this, thus and thus. And so we want to be faithful. We want to fight this enemy that's against us, that uses every tactic that he can to destroy us. And we have one more scripture. It's 1 Timothy 6 and read 6 through 12.
But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain as it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For they will be rich. For they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How far?
12.
But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses.
See, what we want to do is fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. It's going to take a fight, but it when we win, we'll be blessed in the end because we'll have eternal life. And that's the goal that we have. We want to be able to live eternally with God, with Jesus and God. Pray for me.